Radio Catskill. On air, online, on your smartphone, and on your smart speaker.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Local Edition. News and information to keep you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. In the second half of the program, we'll be checking in with the New York News Connection. Recently, New York State Governor Kathy Hochul announced $35 million investment to support abortion providers in the Empire State. We'll also be checking in with Barry Lewis. He has a column in the Sullivan County Democrat that's out now. He talks about springtime and planting. But first, the pandemic is not over in our area as cases across the state and in our area rise. According to New York State health officials, the new variant is substantially more contagious than the first descendant of the potent Omicron variant. It now accounts for 73% of all the virus circulating in the region, according to the new CDC findings. On the phone with us now to tell us more is Dr. Bruce Elswick, Medical Director for Sullivan County Public Health, and is also a family doctor at Cross the Run. Dr. Elswick, welcome back to the program. Cases are on the rise. What can you tell us about what's going on now?
The cases are rising for several reasons. One, we have a variant that, although it may not cause as severe an illness in those that are immunized as the other variants, it is certainly becoming much more prevalent. Unfortunately, our numbers are rising. Our 7-day average number of cases per 100,000 is 36. In May, so far, we've averaged about 29.6 cases per day in Sullivan County. Fortunately, our hospital numbers haven't been huge. Our highest hospital number has been 2. Our lowest was 0 this month. And we're getting 20 to 30 new cases per day over the last couple of weeks. And these are only the lab-confirmed cases. I'm sure the case number is actually higher since people are doing home testing, and they may not be reporting the results or getting a confirmatory test, which is certainly worrisome and disturbing. As the fall approaches, as the summer ends and the fall approaches, is when they're calling for the potential of a big surge again because people will be indoors and exposing each other to the virus. Also, because of the mask mandates being lifted, people are much more liberal about their exposure, unfortunately, and therefore have a greater opportunity to share the disease with those around them. The percentage of positives is higher than it has been, although in Sullivan County is a little lower than the Mid-Hudson region and the state in general. But again, this may be because we don't know the true number because people are just self-testing at home.
Right. And those take-home tests, the self-tests at home, now are so abundant now. I remember a time when it was scarce to find those tests. Now I see them being handed out in the mall and even town halls now here in Sullivan County. So you're saying the take-home tests that people are doing are not always counted in the positive cases that are now are being tracked by the state, correct?
Absolutely. If the person doesn't choose to get the confirmatory PCR test or they choose to ignore the results, we have no access to that data, of course. There are false positives and false negatives. In other words, people can have the disease and have a negative home test. And there are those who have a positive home test and do not have the disease. So if you do have symptoms, if anyone has symptoms, whether or not that's positive or negative on the home test, they would need to speak to their primary care provider or their clinician and get a confirmatory PCR test, either at their clinician's office or at any facility that offers PCR testing. I've had in the last 4 or 5 days, two positives per day on average in those people who are either symptomatic or have had a positive home test and then I've gotten a confirmatory test. These patients I do not see in the office because of their symptoms or because of their positive home tests. I have them, I see them via telehealth and get a confirmatory test. So the disease is certainly out there, and it's the numbers are climbing. We do have, unfortunately, we do not have adequate full immunization of our population in Sullivan County. We are one of the lowest counties in fully vaccinated population in the state, unfortunately. And we still meet with a lot of resistance to getting vaccinated, which is your best protection against serious disease and death.
Yeah, that statistic that you gave, that we're lowest, one of the lowest in the state as far as vaccination goes, is an alarming statistic. You know, when I go out in public, I still act like the early days of the pandemic. I still wear my mask everywhere I go in public spaces, whether there is a lot of people or less people. And now, you know, the experts are saying that there is a possible another wave coming this fall and winter. What can we do to protect ourselves from this new wave that's coming?
And the number one thing is get vaccinated and get boosted. That is by far number one. The recent data shows that the second booster, particularly of Moderna, is extremely effective in those people that are eligible in preventing disease and preventing serious complications such as hospitalization and death. So I know people are annoyed by the fact that we have to get more and more shots, but it's the best tool that we have to protect ourselves and those that we care about. And I do agree with you that we should be masking in public if we are in close quarters. I wear my mask indoors everywhere. Unfortunately, I still have yet to go out to dinner in a restaurant. I eat outside when I can. You know, I'm doing what I can not only to protect myself, but to protect the people around me. I see patients in my office who have not been vaccinated. I wear a mask and gloves when I see them. Clean my stethoscope between each patient, and I take every precaution and encourage people to get vaccinated, especially those who have not, and encourage people to get boosted and get the second booster for those that are eligible. It's a horrible disease. We're approaching 1 million people in the country that, as far as deaths, it's so profoundly disturbing that we have people who are resisting understanding the science and pursuing the appropriate methods of protecting themselves and others. But the best protection we have is vaccination and masking, social distancing.
Right. So we're keep continuing the stuff that we have been doing for those who have been keeping safe, wearing masks, get vaccinated to fully protect ourselves and see help protect ourselves against this new way that could possibly come to our area, and those who are eligible to get another booster shot. Your recommendation is to go out there and get it. Dr. Ellswick, thank you so much for joining us again on the Local Edition and letting us know about the rising cases that we have in our area and what we can do to protect ourselves. Again, thank you so much for coming out to the program.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and be safe and take care of yourself. And I hope everyone who's listening is also taking care of themselves. You have a great day and be safe.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ellswick. Now from the New York News Connection, New York to allocate $35 million to abortion providers. New York State Governor Kathy Hochul recently announced a $35 million investment to support abortion providers in New York State. $25 million will fund the increased capacity and ensure access. For more information on that, we have Lily Buckle from the News Connection.
Governor Kathy Hochul on Tuesday announced a new state fund for supporting abortion providers in anticipation of the U.S. Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. She directed the State Department of Health to put $25 million into a fund to expand capacity and ensure access, as well as $10 million for reproductive health centers to acquire security grants to keep providers safe.
And we have seen the threats and actually the action of anti-abortion violence, and the climate is getting more extreme every single day. So it's only going to get worse as this decision is rendered in the next few weeks, and we need to be ready, and we will be ready here in the state of New York.
Hochul called on the federal government to codify Roe v. Wade and also repeal the Hyde Amendment, which prevents federal funding from going to abortions. The state attorney general and lawmakers in the New York state legislature have announced the Reproductive Freedom and Equity Program, a bill that would provide financial resources to abortion providers and support the influx of individuals who are and will be coming to New York to access abortions. If Roe v. Wade is overturned, 26 states will ban or are likely to ban abortion, and about 40 million women live in those states. State Senator Cordell Clear of New York City sponsored the bill. She emphasizes that access to abortion is a fundamental part of women's health care.
Any rollback or constraint of any health care right is fundamentally unjust, and we know it will have particular harm on women of color, those of modest means, and those already suffering disparities under our current system. We cannot and we will not let it stand.
According to the CDC, 9% of abortions performed in New York in 2019 were for people from other states, about 7,000 individuals, and that number could grow 4 times or more. Illinois is the only other state in the nation that serves as many out-of-state abortion patients. This is Lily Bulkey with New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators for transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Thank you so much, Lily, for that report. Thank you to the New York News Connection. You're listening to The Local Edition. It's Friday, and I've been your host, Patricio Robayo. Coming up, we have Barry Lewis. He has a column in the Sullivan County Democrat talking about planting and seeding and gardening. It's springtime. So let's talk about what is Barry digging in the dirt for. What he's planting. Let's see what's sprung up this spring. It's the Local Edition on a Friday. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. We'll be right back right after this.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Garnet Health Medical Center, Catskills, located in Harris and Calicoon, a member of the Garnet Health System, garnethealth.org, and from listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
On this week's On the Media, with Roe under threat, the national conversation has turned to calls for civility?
Republicans tend to be better at unifying around a message. And all of a sudden, we're all talking about whether or not it's okay for a few dozen people to hold some signs outside Brett Kavanaugh's house.
Also, a taxonomy of TikTok panics. On this week's On the Media from WNYC.
News and information to keep you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. It's Friday on the Local Edition, and every other Friday we talk to Barry Lewis, who has a column in the Sullivan County Democrat that's out at newsstands now. He's on the phone with us now to talk about planting seeds, planting bulbs, all about spring. Barry, you're digging in the dirt. Tell us, why are you digging in the dirt?
It's one of those things, bulbs, and everyone can see. You know, we, in the fall, early winter, we plant these things. We hope, we pray, and, you know, we don't know what takes. You know, we're imagining greatness, but we don't know when it's chilly and we're on our hands and knees and we're digging and we're planting and we're hoping we're doing it right. And this is the time of year that we see the fruits of our labor. And for some folks who are, you know, who are plant fruits and vegetables, they have that same experience. Well, for me, it's planting bulbs. You know, it's the daffodils, the hyacinths, or it's seeing my bulb babies, or as I like to call them, my bulbulas.
So when did you plant these bulbs? Was it early, late winter? Or?
It was last October. It was blustery. I just remember it was so cold, and I'm on my knees, and I'm scurrying around every flower bed, I'm under every tree, along a rock wall in our yard, and I'm carefully digging up the earth to give these bulbs, you know, a suitable home. And, you know, the instructions were pretty simple. 4 inches deep, 3 inches apart. 4 inches deep, 3 inches apart. You know, and it seemed simple. And, you know, I was about two-thirds. Funny thing was, I was about two-thirds done. I had some 175 bulbs in the ground. You know, 4 inches deep, 3 inches apart. And my wife asked me, she says, well, you remember to plant them pointy end up, right? And I'm thinking, pointy end up, right? That was a good question. I didn't really give much thought to which way to plant the bulbs, you know, as I don't have a green thumb, and I'm not really sure which way, probably because I never thought about planting bulbs. You know, and I just remembered my fingers were numb from the cold. And, you know, the question almost seemed comical, you know. And what would be the response I would give her? You know, yeah, I think so. You know, roll my eyes a little bit. And then I thought about, well, how many of these bulbs maybe I didn't plant the right way? And, you know, how many had I left pointy side down? You know? And I wouldn't know. I couldn't dig everything back up, so I wouldn't know until spring.
And, you know, spring is here. We had a lot of rain the week before, but now it seems like the sun is out. It seems like everything is playing catch up almost, with just a rush, I think, in my area, just a rush to bloom. So what has bloomed for you?
Well, a lot of them have. A lot of them, some have not. But this weekend, because it really has warmed up tremendously. We had a lot of rain. It seems like we had a ton of rain over the beginning parts of the month. And now we're seeing just really warm weather. And it's probably the best part of, you know, we fall around here, we all know is gorgeous. There's nothing, you know, it's a rainbow sky. You know, we drive around. But I think after our winters, and I like to think that we've got some hard winters. They feel hard, even if we may not have the snow that we used to have. It just seems as though it gets a bitter cold. You know, the winters, it feels like they start in October. You know, it's second week of April, we still get snow. So so when you get into May, especially these last couple of days, it's refreshing. And so you start moving things around. I've seen people already mowing. I know there's the old adage, you don't plant anything around here until May Day, you know, until at least Memorial Day weekend, because we're going to get days that's going to be close to freezing, at least, you know, in some mornings in some parts of our area.
One of the traditions I have is before the winter ends, I get tomato plants, and I, you know, set out with a goal of growing tomatoes. I start indoors because it's, you know, still freezing outside at night, and I don't want my tomato plants to get ruined. So I've been keeping them indoors. But now I feel it's safe to sort of bring them outdoors and get them into the warmer weather so they can really prosper. So it's getting to the point that I think we are sort of over the freezing mark, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of like you know for sure that the day you take the snow tires off the car, it's going to snow.
Yeah. It always happens.
Know? So I remember unwrapping finally, I don't know, a week or so ago. It was like, well, it's time to unwrap the top that we had protected, some of the plants that we had done, you know, and sure enough, I think it was literally the day before we suddenly got this burst of like the 2 inches or 3 inches of snow that we had. And I think that a lot of them are hardy, but yeah, this is an area and this is a time, and you know, and for your listening area, 10 miles in one direction can make a big difference in terms of temperature. And you know, we get to that teetering point. I'd like to think that by mid-May, You know, we're not going to see, we're not going to have any more freezing mornings. Get close. You know, it's going to be below, it's going to be below 40. That's for sure. You know, we're going to wake up and it'll be 35, 36, but I think we're past the frost. I like to believe so.
Yeah, but we hope. Like I said, it's I sometimes feel like I get hesitant when I look at the weather. I was like, when the shoe's going to drop, when is it going to have the next big storm or something like that? Because it seems like we're so used to, you know, the winters here. It seems so long. It's like, so we're used to the either winter storm or freezing warning. But now we have fire warnings now because we have is brush season. I just got alert today saying that today is very, fire day, meaning that it is very easily could start a brush fire and could easily spread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think because it had rained not that long ago. We think, well, why are we worrying? And again, I'm no expert on this, but I just, we know how quickly, you know, the winds we've had this week were pretty intense. And, you know, a couple of days of those winds, suddenly we're teetering near 70, and yeah, you got to be careful. So I just, you know, I like to write what affects me or what I'm dealing with, and I think a lot of people do. And again, I am not a master gardener by any stretch, and it's a lot of it is trying to follow the directions and just, you know, trying to take a little pride in where we live and fix up. And then you do everything, and then you forget, that Mother Nature plays havoc with you, and so do our friendly deer who play havoc. And, you know, you're looking around to what you've planted, and the next thing you know, it's the buffet line for Ma and Pa Bambi.
Right, right. Yes, the deer. Oh, I almost forgot about the deer.
Yeah, you know, suddenly, you know, you look out the window, and there's Ma and Pa Bambi and their little bambinos munching on my bulbs. You know, like it's some outdoor barbecue, and suddenly I'm looking at that and going, you know, I can go for some venison these days. So it, and I don't hunt, but boy,
poor deer. I mean, when I first moved up here and I attempted to garden and start a outdoor above ground garden, I thought deer would be my main enemy, but it seemed to be for our garden. I don't remember what I was planting, but it seemed to attract bears. I put up a fence I thought would be guard against the deer entering the garden and noshing, but I woke up one morning and I see the fence posts that I put up were metal fence posts just bent 90 degrees. And the only thing I could think of was either a Sasquatch or a bear came to the area, which most likely was a bear came to the area and noshed on my onions or something that was in the garden. And that sort of did it for my outdoor experience. I now do gardens mostly indoors and on the porch. So,
well, yeah, you forget one thing and the next thing, you know, well, you didn't cover everything. And I did things I didn't cover. And I'm looking at it, and you could see where they, how far they ate, and they're beautiful to watch. Sometimes you're blown away when you wake up in the morning and you look out your window, and you know the whole family just walking up, and you think it's cute, and until one of them has like a toothpick in its mouth because it just finished finishing off some of your flowers, you know, and. They leave you a $3 tip and they're walking away and they're like, oh, great. So it's
like, thanks for the meal.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks a lot. You know, we'll see you next Thursday. It's for a city guy who's trying to, you know, go beyond and, you know, learning about flowers and stuff. And I know I'm not alone in this and we're trying to get it right. You know, I'm just trying to get it right. And with all the frustration and everything, when I do see these bulbs, and they're beautiful. You know, you see the whites and the yellow and the purple, and you don't know how long they're going to be up there, but you see them and you're like, okay, this worked. You know, I've almost wanted to like start counting and figure out how many survived and how many didn't, but it's a nice feel, and it gives you a sense of, okay, we've turned the corner, which is really, I guess, what it's all about.
Right. Spring is officially here. It's here. Things are blooming. The weather is great, and summer is soon to follow. And pretty soon, before we know it, we're right back into the fall and winter, which seems so short. It really does. The summer season and spring season seems so short, and we're so fast into the fall and winter season, which can be beautiful, and it is beautiful. It just sometimes seems very long.
It always does. The next, you know, we're anticipating, and we've got, you know, because we try to now squeeze in everything, every last morsel of activities for those 2-3 months that we know are, you know, gorgeous. It's June, July. I don't want to depress people, but suddenly we look up, and it's that second week of September, and you're going, huh? What happened? You know, suddenly it's back down to, 50 degrees, and you begin to there's a crispness, and you're like, well wait a minute, huh? Pumpkins? I don't want to do pumpkins. I want daffodils. I don't want pumpkins yet.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, the summer goes so fast. And to me, especially in late August, I get really sentimental and sad that knowing that the summer is soon ending. Because it seems like once September comes around, it just seems like Mother Nature knows, like, oh, it's September here, and the temperature just drops. So, it's safe. It's always good to go out there and enjoy the summer. And especially this summer, you have to keep safe. We just did an interview with Dr. Elswig for Sullivan County Public Health and, warned us about the potential of a next rise in positive COVID-19 cases. So enjoy the summer out there, obviously, but always keep safe because we're still in a pandemic.
Exactly. This could be another tough summer, but, be outdoors and you be smart and, we'll get through it. But for me, the start of the season, for everybody has kind of a marker. One of the starts of the season is, opening day of Citi Field for the Mets. That's a start. There's certain things we do here. As I said, we take off the snow tires, you pull some other stuff out. You got to start, changing the oil and see if I can get my sons to sharpen the blades on the lawnmower. And then they're seeing the bulbs come up. It's like, okay, turn the corner, it's spring.
Right, it's Mother Nature's way of letting us know that, hey, like you said, it's springtime, we're here. Again, Barry, it's always a pleasure to talk to you on the Local Edition, letting us know what's going on in your column that's in the Sullivan County Democrat newspaper on newsstands now, or you could visit them online at scdemocratonline.com. Thank you again so much, Barry, again, for talking to us, letting us know that you're planting, you're keeping active in the garden and, planting bulbs and watching them grow and fighting against the deer, the good fight against the deer and your garden. So thank you so much again for joining us, and be well and stay safe out there.
Be well. Take care.
And that does it for the Local Edition. I want to thank my first guest, Dr. Bruce Elswig, Medical Director for the Sullivan County Public Health, letting us know about the potential for new cases coming up the fall and winter and what can we do to protect ourselves. Also, we checked in with the New York News Connection about New York State Governor Hochul's announcement of the $35 million investment to support abortion providers in New York State. And we just finished talking to Barry Lewis by his column in the Sullivan County Democrat, letting us know about planting bulbs in springtime. We'll be back on Monday where we do this all over again. We'll be talking to Sullivan County government and we're checking in with the Shadfest. You've been listening to the Local Edition. If you ever miss a show, we have a podcast. You can find us anywhere you find your local podcast and find us on social media. We're at WJFF Radio. You've been listening to the Local Edition. I'm Patricia Rubio. Have a good night, Lucy. This is Radio Catskill, your NPR station, WJFF Jeffersonville. Coming up next, the mixtape.
Daughter of Thelma, granddaughter of Eula, great-granddaughter of Sarah, great-great-granddaughter of Adeline, great-great-great-granddaughter of Mary Jane, niece to Minnie, sister to Patrice, Belinda, Mary, and Jacqueline, mother to Dominique, and I am here because I am your sister friend.
Sister Fest, a two-part celebration of mothers, daughters, sisters, and sister friends, Saturday at noon on the Janice Adams Show.
Thank you. annual Folk Alliance Conference is the biggest national event in American folk music, and artists from Britain and Ireland across the Atlantic to play there, if they're invited. Next time on The Wackaload of Monks is with me, Graham Rice, here on Radio Catskill. We'll be hearing some of the British and Irish guests at this year's conference. Join me, please, Sunday afternoon at 3.
WJFF Jeffersonville. You're listening to Radio Catskill.
Support comes from 52 and Vine, a wine and spirit shop in Jeffersonville featuring local, national, and eclectic vintners and